Blog Talk Radio. This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening. Good morning and welcome to another creative conversation. Today we have on the line Mama Azia. Hi.
Greetings. Peace and blessings be upon you and everyone that listens.
Great. And today we're going to, have a continued conversation about transformative power of the performing arts. And I would like for you to kind of give us a formal introduction of yourself and the work that you are doing in the community.
Okay. My name is Mama Azia Suleiman. I got that name, Mama Azia, a long time ago, over 20 years ago. I've taught in over hundreds of schools throughout the Bay Area and different parts of the world in different countries, mostly in the Bay Area, California, and that's how I developed and got that name. So all the little children, they're probably not little anymore, will call me Mama Azia, know me by Mama Azia. I've been teaching performing arts, mainly dance, and I have four children. I have two older boys graduated from college, and I have a 16-year-old girl and a 7-year-old boy. And they have kept me very busy and also very active as far as my activism and the kind of work that I've been doing for several years. Currently, I am really working hard with Melanin Day School Academy and with the SOJO CRCC program.
And CRCC is the Capital Region Creative Corps, which has launched a program called Tactical Urbanism, Art and Placemaking, and the Sojourner Truth African Heritage Museum focuses on social justice and community engagement with our cross-sector partners. You also have another organization that you go under as yourself in your art classes?
Yeah, Mama Azia Productions. Yes, and, I'm with that, I am creating a beautiful eco-healing village. Our village is nestled in 3 acres of land surrounded by over 200 acres of foundation for outdoor activities aimed to provide a safe sanctuary for those suffering from post-traumatic slavery disorder syndrome. To bring, this vision about, we need, and we've been having great support from our communities in various ways. And
I was going to ask the question, what community, because I know that you're bi-coastal and you're coming. I met you there in Sacramento, California, and a great deal of your work has been in California. So where are you currently?
I'm currently in North Carolina right now. One of the first model of our eco-village is in Virginia. And so I'm always back and forth there. And we will be building the second model in California that project haven't started, but we are in the planning and making of being able to see that happen. And on, you know, of course, this.
I just wanted to say great, because there's a definite need of, you know, for African Americans to go back to our roots, you know, like the farm, to go back to cultivating, to go back, you know, for our own, you know, to maintain our own existence, is to go back to the land, you know, and acquire land, you know. And it's not just a trend that's happened in the last, you know, 20 years. It's a trend that is a forceful trend, especially in the DMV, which is, DMV is acronym for, you know, the District of Columbia, you know, Maryland, Virginia. And when you read about the black farmers, they always say the DMV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I believe so too. And you know, a part of what I do, as far as you know, I'm doing workshops now that involve you know, choreography and working with the community and bringing about having them to think of social justice themes that are important to them and how to incorporate that within their dance piece that they would like to create. And so that's just one of the things that we're doing. But, you know, dance, acting, poetry, drumming. I do a lot of work with them, and I've been trained in West African, mainly, dances and drumming. And I do also have training in other dances of the diaspora. But that has always been a way for me to heal from trauma, to heal from the day-to-day stresses, to heal from discrimination, and so forth and so on. And I see how it has helped, you know, a lot of people and students as well that I work with. And so that will always be a component that I will definitely have in whatever that I do. And so seeing the devastation of what's going on in our communities, food desert, you know, crime, all so much stuff. Okay, the list will go on forever, but you know, I tend to keep myself with people, organizations, and working to problem solve and be a part of the remedy. And so I am so very thankful to be a part of SOJO CRCC. I am so very thankful to be a part of Melanin Day School Academy, because, you know, there's the educational piece, and we're not excluding the family. The family is definitely part of our vision of continuing the education, especially, you know, of our youth that will, you know, that we have to train in order for them to, you know, solve the problems that they're going to face, you know. And so very, very happy in doing that. Very happy with being able to work with such dynamic souls as Shona from the Sojourner Truth Museum, you as well, Alpha, Nakia, director of the Melanin Day School Academy, Nia, which is, she has agricultural warrior class, and she does compost and so many beautiful things in the community that we're working on. And Queen Amina, who's just AKA Roz, Aunt Roz Myers, who is just a phenomenal help, and having Queen Amina's garden, Queen Amina's 100 gardens, which we will be going to Cuba for our Juneteenth event, and we'll be building our one of Queen Amina's 100 gardens in Cuba. So we're so very excited about that. And actually, she will be meeting with the, she'll be meeting with the ambassador of Cuba today, discussing seeds for Cuba. So I'm just really excited about what's happening. It keeps my mind off of everyday trauma or news that's happening, you know, that we see that's happening in our own cities, our own country, you know, and the several different states. So, you know, that's what I have to say about
that. Let's talk a little bit about your trajectory, and your time in Oakland, California, at Laney College. When were you there?
So in Laney College, you know, I started Laney, I think 18 years old, about 18 years old. Went to Laney, went to Merritt, went to Hayward Community College. From there, you know, that's where I actually started West African truly training and West African Haitian dance and acting in at Laney College. Graduated with an associate's degree in art there and transferred to San Francisco State to get a degree in ethnic dance and Africana studies, which put me on a path to definitely embracing my ancestry, my culture, took me on plenty of ventures to Africa. And I've just been going deep ever since, you know. And
the dance company that you were a part of, I'm trying to remember because, like, in the back in the 70s, I was there. Well, I was there going back and forth from Fresno, California, up to Oakland to study under, you know, different dance companies. And I didn't write them that. And they would come over and perform in, you know, California. I mean, in Fresno as well, you know, but we all talk about acculturation and how we.
The Malanga Center, you know, I performed. I got my first training anyhow, even with drumming, Congolese drumming and dance at San Francisco State with Malanga. I danced in his company, and there the Malanga Center is named after him. It used to be called the Alisar Center, but I danced with Malanga, Castellort, in the Congolese West African tradition. I also was assistant director with the Bodak, which is a Ghanaian company. And also I've danced with Zach and Naomi, and they're, I've trained with them at Laney College. I trained with them, you know, forever at the Malanga Center. I have, and then I've had some dance companies of my own in St. Thomas as well as in Sacramento. And
we have a guest. We have a guest. Would you hold that? Let's put a pause on that and let's make sure that your guest that came in the studio, we acknowledge them before. I don't want them to hang up, so just a moment.
Sure.
Hi, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Creative Conversation. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan, and we have Mama Zia on the line. You're calling in to listen, or did you have a comment?
No, I was just calling in to listen.
Okay, great. So I'm going to put you back on mute so you can listen in. Are you sitting in our studio?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, great. All right. All right. You have someone listening and ready to engage in our conversation. So I'm going to take you off that mute button and so continue because you have such a rich background,
beautiful.
You know, as an ambassador, you know, through your, you know, performing arts. And have you danced with Jambalaya? There
no.
In Sacramento? Oh, okay. I just saw them perform at the Sacramento Banana Festival when we came out of COVID, and that was my first time seeing the group perform with Nakia there.
I danced drumming out of Sacramento. that's the only company that I have danced with outside of my own Achilles Pan-African Dance Company in Sacramento. So, no, yeah. I haven't. Yeah.
And I've seen you work with the youth there and training them, you know, and exposing them to, you know, African dance and rhythm. And also it's really
yes.
appreciative the work that the cultural work that we do as artists, that you also are teaching the foundation, you know, of being Pan-Africanist, you know, with the youth by having the Melanated Faith School Academy. And so they're learning more than just coming and performing and working out. But, you know, I really
yeah.
always appreciate the work that you all do and all of us do because we hang on to that Pan-Africanism, our Pan-African roots and our training, you know, and even as part of your repertoire, I see you you have an African-American studies degree, you know, where you're infusing all of that knowledge into the next generation. So that is,
yeah.
you know, it's really rewarding.
You know what?
Go.
And you know what? Okay, this is so fascinating. With because I worked with so hundreds, I don't know how many students, a lot, but the in the African American predominated schools that I have went to and I taught. You know, when I start to be showing the videos of my trip and especially like the one when I went to Senegal and they would see the circle of women doing sabar, they would see the color, they would see the dress, they would see the taxi cabs. I was picked up in a Mercedes Benz. A lot of the Mercedes are taxi cabs. And so that totally changed them. Just because their thoughts of Africa is what they have been fed from the media, you know, with, you know, starvation and naked, almost half naked people running in the jungles or something like that, or Tarzan. It's just really weird. Well, not weird, but in the sense that, you know, they had no knowledge that Africa has cities, has beautiful structures, cars, you know, beautiful, you know, healthy looking, you know, people, you know, and it just really blew a lot of the children's mind. And I just really seen just a difference and then a more of embrace of, you know, the African dance, the African drumming and the interest. And it's just a beautiful thing to be able to share with everyone across all cultures, but especially with our, you know, some brown babies, you know, and just seeing what kind of inspiration and transformation that brings, you know, to them. And so I'm, you know, just really appreciative of being able to be that bridge, you know, of education and information and inspiring those to take a trip to Africa and let them know, so I've taken several, that, you know, it's not hard. And a lot of people may think it's such a gigantic feat to, you know, go to Africa. And so I'm there to say, oh, it's so easy, you know, and these are places that you can go and, you know, and then, you know, some English-speaking countries are, you know, might be something that, you know, so that you can feel comfortable in communicating. They know English, you know, and things of that nature. So I just wanted to really say that.
Yeah, we do have to always remember, you know, that there's the modernization of colonial Africa, you know, and those colonizers that have been there and as you know they have been here in the United States, and it's still you know there is again the colonization that has happened to Africa, and so we should not confuse that. But in the urban environments there, yeah there's city, we have suburban areas, and we have rural, as we have here in the States. There's some areas you know, that are, I don't know, there's no investment that has happened, you know, in some communities, and there's rural communities. As, you know, you venture out across the United States, there's all different types of communities. As in the countries in Africa, there's different regions. And we have to explore that and have those bigger conversations, you know, globally. I want to make sure that we dive into a couple of these, you know, research questions. And in terms of you as at the intersection of, you know, of culture as a choreographer, you're at the intersection of culture, spiritual, and civic and social engagement. And you want to talk a little bit about that. I know you kind of brushed the surface of that. But, you know, you want to talk a little bit about that or address that, you as the curator?
Which one of the questions are you?
You know, as, I'm just saying you as a choreographer and mm-hmm. as a dancer and storyteller, and you're at the intersection of culture, you bring the spirituality, you know, to the group and your groundedness and where you are in your life, and that transcends through your spirit as a cultural bearer and your civic and social engagement. And so you basically talked about how all of those things come together. I just kind of wanted to address these are some pressing community issues within that. So we kind of a little bit before we started the episode, you were asking me questions about, you know, the research, and so these are some research, you know, questions that we formed, you know, to talk about, to talk to the artist, to talk about how you began to intersect. Maybe I'll rephrase it like that.
Okay.
How did you begin to intersect?
Okay, well, as an artist, performing artist. I see myself as a catalyst for change and a bridge between creativity and social justice. Through performance and activism, I strive to raise awareness about pressing issues, you know, such as the environmental justice, equity, and self-sustainability. Of course, that's what we're really stressing on with our Eco Village. I use movement as a powerful language to tell stories of liberation, unity, and a vibrant African by engaging with the community through dance, music, storytelling, drumming. I am to inspire dialogue, empathy, and action. You know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What steps are we going to do? Finding your purpose, you know, going within, having our meditations, and figuring it out so we can help and support each other on all of our journeys individually, collectively as well. And, you know, together we can harness the transformative power of art to build a stronger and more sustainable and safe place for everyone. And our trip to Cuba
is transformative.
And our trip to Cuba, you know, prior to this, I did go. I vetted the different places. I've also had a lot of beautiful spiritual experiences when it comes to connecting with ancestral journeys and giving thanks and honor. And so Cuba have allowed me that space to be able to express that through dance, through the art, through music, and paying homage. And so we have just a beautiful, powerful education journey that that we're going to take, you know, our travelers on for Juneteenth. And each day we'll be involved in going to the forest, going to the river, learning the dances, you know, learning so many aspects of the Afro-Cuban culture, religion, you know, all of that. And just, you know, having that time to really get into ourselves, to meditate, and having the time and space to just connect and think about who we are, where we are, and our next steps, and to do that beautiful cultural exchange, you know. And everywhere I go, I went to a children's center in Havana. It was Venus in Cuba, and it was just so beautiful because they had presented their dance to me, and then I presented and taught them a class as well, and drumming and so forth and so on. So it was just such an awesome, beautiful exchange. And anywhere that I go, even in Africa and Senegal, Gori Island, they were a bunch of children just always navigate to the children, dancing, doing our dances to 50 Cent. Now, I would never think in here, thought that I would see that. And then I'm glad I captured that on video. And so when I bring that to share amongst the people, they're like, oh, my God, that is so cute and beautiful, you know. So they very much knowing of our culture, our youth, and what we're doing, and it brings a connection, like we're getting connected. And so wherever we go in the diaspora of African people, bringing forth that we're one, we can work together, we can do things together to help solve our problems, and to also be able to heal together and see their different healing modalities and ours as well, and just having that great exchange.
You know, that was, I didn't even really need to ask you that question because you answered it before I asked, and it's that I was going to ask you, in what ways did you view yourself as an artist in our community's challenge in building a strong, sustainable, safe place? And you just basically answered that, you know, because that's all a part of your, you know, all a part of you and what you do and what you bring to these spaces. So that is really appreciated in the work you do. So,
Melanin Bay, still a safe places for families to thrive, heal. Yes. That's my baby right there. Yes.
And you were one of the first organizers, first educators to come on board there.
Yes.
You know, we only have a couple of minutes left, you know, and how that formed by a group of mothers or homeschoolers, or how did you guys all come together?
Pretty much a group of mothers, and we came through, you came close, tight-knit through the dance form, the art that, you know, dance. It's a story and how it happened, but Florin, thank God, for beautiful owner of Florin Market Square, allowing us space, Ron, allowing us the space to be able to, for Nakia to be able to start this Melanin Day School Academy. And so when I seen it, and I'm like, oh, wow, I have a place for my son. Yay, my daughter. And so we connected, and through dance, they, you know, a lot of them and Nakia joined my dance company. So we were just, you know, we just connected and started building out really big from there. So dance was a huge part of that connection.
Well, I think that is how, you know, things are supposed to work out, you know, for us in this work that we do, and all of us as cultural bearers coming together to, again, create this work. I want to thank you for joining us, and we've come to basically the end of our episode. Is there anything you want to add? Do you have a website that you want to share?
Artist-run project that exhibits the non-traditional gallery setting.
Well, right now,
setting.
It will be melaninbayschoolacademy.org. You can find
the city,
me
like
there,
the
on there,
dialogue,
and
of
plenty
bio.
Of ways that you can give
creative
help and support
I'm
or take
host,
my classes. I do offer online classes, workshops, And we'll be doing plenty of wonderful things in the community. So you can connect with me there. You can connect with me. My email is aziadance@gmail.com. We would definitely, love to see. Well, firstly, financial support is crucial in completing the construction of the Echo Healing Village and ensuring its sustainability. So, donations and funds from the community members can help cover the cost of so many things. And additionally, volunteers who are skilled in construction, landscaping, farming, sustainable building practices can lend their expertise to expedite the building process and make our village a reality.